In two of our readings and in the psalm, widows are prominently featured. I love in the first reading where the widow, when asked to provide something, she goes, you know, woe is me, I just have this little bit and I'm going to go home and fix it for me and my son and then we're going to die. Talk about a drama queen. So why this emphasis, though? Why was the prophet sent to this widow? And why in the gospel do we have Jesus encountering this widow and her dead son? And then the psalmist reminds us that the Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow. What is this all about? What we see here is not just compassion over those who are bereaved. I mean, yes, we do have compassion upon those who have lost a loved one, but there's more going on in the story than just that. For this widow in the gospel, it may be her son's funeral, but her life has ended. And you may think, well, what do you mean? I mean, I know people are distraught, sometimes don't know how they're going to live in the face of the loss of someone beloved. But we also know that people move on, people heal. People live. But in this story, what's being suggested, and it may not be obvious on the surface, is that her life is over. She has lost her last connection to society. And she's about to become a non-person. Now, it may be hard for us to realize this because we don't think that because someone has lost a loved one that they ceased being a person themselves. We still realize that they have value in and of themselves, but that was not the case in the first century. She walks behind her dead son who's being carried to be buried. She remembers walking that same path at some point in the past to bury her husband. And although the pain was great then, she could lean upon her son. Then she only had to grieve the loss of her husband. Now she must grieve the loss of son. And a reasonable fear of losing her very self as well. You see, to be a widow in the time of Jesus was to have no power, no social standing whatsoever. It was a world of, a world for, and a world that was run by men. Now, the law, the religious law of the day, did give some protection to widows. And we can see that through just three examples this morning, that Scripture is filled with admonitions to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. Why? Because society gave them no privilege, no standing, no status whatsoever. Ever. And so the scriptures were read by people in those days, and they knew that widows were to receive special care and attention, and that they were not to be exploited. But we all know full well that religious laws do not guarantee anything. They were certainly no guarantee of a woman's safety in a man's world. That sometimes is still the case. So our gospel passage today can be seen on the surface, yes, it's about Jesus restoring a man to life. And that is certainly the most dramatic part of the story. It's a vision of God's glory, a vision of God's triumph over death. But the glory of God is much bigger than just this resuscitation. For the widow is brought back to life as well. After the man comes back to life, the first thing that Jesus does is gives him back to his mother, which says, your life is not yours alone. Your life is not for your enjoyment, for your pleasure. Your life is for another. So he gives him back to his mother, and by doing so, he brings her back to life. He does more than heal a dead man. He heals a woman that is broken by a society that could not see her as fully human, as if she were a man, than if she was a man. Now, that's a foreign world to us, and it's not at the same time, because we still live in a world of social divisions. Our society, our global society, is full of divisions based on many, many things. In fact, it feels like we have found more ways in which to divide ourselves now than could have even been imagined at the time that this story was written. Well, we can be divided by religion and by ethnicity or by nation or by age or by the kind of music we like or by what we wear or by our wealth and poverty. And sadly, we're still divided at times by gender. But amid all this division, God still gives us life. And that's what this gospel passage is about. That regardless of what society says and does, our gospel tells us that there is still life. There is life that God gives to us. That God is the source of all our being. And that doesn't just mean that God gives us biological life. God gives us a full life, what Jesus spoke of, an abundant life, a life where our divisions are healed, eliminated. And that is the action that Jesus took here in this story. Yes, he restored biological life, but he did it for the purpose of restoring a forgotten life. A life that could be had by this widow. Indeed, a life that could be had by all. And that is what Jesus showed the people of that village. That life means more than simply existing. Life means more than just sucking in breath and walking around. It means living fully into a web of life. It means being loved, and it means loving others. In fact, it means loving all others. This is the reign of God. It is the reign of well-being, a reign of justice, a reign of abundance, a reign of joyous harmony. It is a reign that recognizes that we are fully in God's presence, and when God's presence encompasses all creation, then God's presence knows no social boundaries. And it's not just God's action, but it's ours. As we reflected upon and acted out last week, we're called to be healers, restoring life to people that life has forgotten. The mission of the church, which is reflected in the Book of Common Prayer, we oftentimes have borrowed this as our own mission statement. It says that the mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other. To restore all people to unity with God and each other. And that means we refuse to acknowledge, and we certainly refuse to draw boundaries between people. We refuse to exclude people from the fullness that God promises. And we do this in simple ways as well as majestic ways. We do it when we welcome people into the fold of the church. We do it when we welcome people into our homes. We do it when we welcome people into our hearts. We do it when we work to ensure that all people are fed and clothed and housed and cared for when they are sick. And we do it when we work to transform an unjust social structure. We do it when we fix any system or practice that treats anyone as undeserving of a full and abundant life. And we still go about the business of making people of all races and genders, particularly those different from those in power, powerless. We still do that. And we'll probably keep doing that, God help us. But as the church, we're called to do something else. We're called to try to make human souls to be full people. And we refuse to turn them into non-people. Our mission is to be people who draw no distinctions. Our mission is to be a people who recognize the dignity of every human being. For the Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and the widow. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Amen.